Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. Tiki Barber.
Got the first down to the 10, to the 5, fighting! Touchdown, Tiki!
Brandon Tierney.
Here's the thing. If that series ever came to fruition, the 86 Mets would have to play on steroids and the 98 Yankees would have to play on cocaine. They'd have to kind of flip the roles.
Tiki and Tierney on the Fan, 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app.
All righty, what's happening? It's 10:03 on the Fan. It's the Tiki and Tierney show. A little payback for Puffy or Tubby or Stubby, whatever that dude's name is on St. Louis, right? It's Stubby. Doubleheader for I got to tell you, I think today's a pretty big day for the Mets. I do. We'll get to that later. Yankees keep rocking. What's up there, Tiki Barber?
All's good, man. We talked all yesterday about Nestor Cortez and this amazing start that he's having. He's pitching a 1.35 ERA. He's leading the team in strikeouts. I think he's fourth or fifth in the American League in strikeouts. Having a great start. And yesterday, a bunch of tweets resurfaced from his teenage years where he was using inappropriate language, the N-word, and all these things that get brought out by a non-fan of the Yankees to create distractions and to shine a light, or at least attempt to shine a light on who he thinks Nestor Cortez actually is. And I got to tell you, Nestor Cortez handled this the right way. This is a bigger story, but he handled it the right way because he addressed it right away. He deleted his account, came out and said, look, I'm going to do some things that, come back and start preaching positivity like he always does. But the first thing that I thought about when I heard this was two things. One, Nestor Cortez needs to address it. Number two, his next start better be one of his best starts that he's had. Because in sports, we've seen this often. Ultimately, down the line, if you're a good player, it doesn't. This won't matter. But the best way to move forward from this is to replace it with a positive story. And this is, I don't want to say it's pressure on Nestor Cortez, but I think his next start might be one of the most pressure-filled that he has. So far this season, he comes out, he looks in control, he has command, he's undistracted, he is dialed in. Because of this, his next start is going to have to be his most important one. Even if in the long term it doesn't feel that way, in the short term, the way to get rid of bad news is to replace it with something good.
He was 16 years old, right? Yep. 16 and 17, I believe, as you said. All right, so think about, of course, this doesn't apply to my partner who was a saint growing up, but I'm pretty sure that just about everybody else listening to the show can relate to this. I mean, I can construct a short list of dumb things I did when I was 16, literally in 10 seconds. Sneaking beers, borrowing my dad's car, graffitiing. Actually, I was a little bit younger when I was doing the spray paint. Even taking a car service and jumping out of the car service without paying and running into a park. I mean, these are kind of things you did in Brooklyn. I get it.
Here's the thing. Some of those things that you were talking about are actually illegal.
No,
right?
I know. Well, right? I mean, what's that?
But here's my point. They're actually illegal, BD.
I know,
What Nestor Cortez wrote on a Twitter account is not illegal.
I understand that. But it's not the perfect equivocation. I'm not trying to equivocate the two.
But it doesn't matter. Your point is valid, and I hear it. But to for some people to feel like they want to cancel him because of something he did, it's not illegal.
Ugh.
And was however many years ago, 10, a decade ago, more. He's 27 years old, I think.
Yes.
A decade ago when he was a kid and immature, is it makes no sense to fully come down hard on him, to put him. I mean, he's a front page story today in the back pages of the papers here. And I get it. He earned that. But at the same time, we got to check ourselves about what we're getting our ire up about as it pertains to some of our athletes who all of a sudden have become famous. There are tons of kids who said and put out worse than this. But once you become famous, all of that comes to the forefront. It becomes relevant all of a sudden for some reason. And I feel for Nestor Cortez, but I'm actually proud of Nestor Cortez because of how he addressed it. Some guys want to run from it, and you can't. Be honest with you, teams, when they sign players, these kids, whatever, however they old they are, they need to go through their social media accounts and wipe all this stuff so that it doesn't come up. The last thing you need right now for the Yankees, who are playing great and best record in baseball, is to have a distraction that it's not based on anything baseball related.
I agree. Pardon me. I agree with that, Teague. I think that, you know, you use the term cancel culture, and I absolutely detest it. I loathe it. I abhor it. I can't stand it. Because what cancel culture does is it's actually counterproductive. Because instead of continuing with conversation, which might lead to some change, it forces, you know, further division. It's polarizing, but not in a productive sense. I can't stand it. Now, the one thing that needs to be said, and I know that Nestor Cortez is not white.
Yes.
And we're past this expiration point, but there was a point, and applied to Josh Allen, Josh Hader dealt with this, Dante DiVincenzo dealt with this in Villanova.
Correct. That's correct.
There is, you know, if you are this is coming from the white guy on the show. If you are a young, white, suburban kid right now, and you have not learned that you have zero license to tweet, to say, to put any of that stuff into the atmosphere, I don't know what kind of lesson you need to have dropped at your doorstep before you finally do. It is very real. It is very painful. You can't do it. So, and I think most kids know that now. But I do think there was a period, kind of, when Cortez was tweeting this stuff and when Josh Allen was tweeting this stuff. And, you know, it was, I don't want to say that it was unclear. Because things that are racially insensitive and that hurt others, it should always be clear. But when you're 15, 16, it's not always clear.
Yeah.
And the world was evolving. The digital age was still picking up steam. Now you got to know.
Yeah.
Now there's no excuses.
Well, it's also, I don't want to say it's confusing, but if you grew up in, even if you didn't grow up around black kids, right? And you listen, but you love their music, right? You just, it's cool. It hits me, right? I feel it, right? I got the beat in me. I want to dance to it, right? And you hear the use of this word. It almost sounds like a term of endearment, right? And so when you then get into society and you think of it not in the historical use of the word, where it was obviously very derogatory, And you hear it the way that blacks and others use it, you want to have license to do it, to say it, because it's like you're complimenting somebody, but it's just not that complicated. And as much as I hate that this is happening to Nestor Cortez, I'm actually glad that it's happening to a guy like Nestor Cortez, because he seems so aware and mature of how to handle it the right way. And it gives all of us, you know, not just the white kids, white parents, but the black parents, and really Hispanic, you know, different color parents, a teaching point on what you can and cannot do and in civilized society anymore. And Nestor handled this the right way. I think the Yankees handled this the right way. And I'll fall back on this again. If he wants to make this go away immediately, go strike out 10, pitch 7 innings, whoever. I think he'll be up against Baltimore, I believe. And make this, he probably won't. It might be the White Sox. But make this go away from the news cycle. And I think he took the right step already to do that.
It will, because there's varying degrees of insensitivity or just a lack of awareness. I mean, there were some, you know, I don't even want to really pull Hader back into this, but I thought there was a, you know, what Hader had, it was racist and homophobic, and it was just, it was ugly.
Yeah.
You know, whereas with Cortez, I can see why it's absolutely construed as painful and ugly, but it's... you know, it's different.
Well, is it different?
Here's the thing.
It is different. It's very different.
I know it is.
But context will get lost. And that's the problem. The context will get lost.
You know what bothers me, though? I can't stand when we go, what kind of human being are you to go on some chase to dig that deeply into somebody's social media account to try to ruin their life?
Yes.
And think about that. Let's not mince the objective of this person who found it. That's not to fully exonerate Cortez. That's not even the right word. But he wrote it, and he's taking ownership, as Tiki said. But, like, what possesses somebody to wake up and say, you know, today is the day that I'm going to try to ruin somebody's life? How miserable are you to actually want to do that? And on a greater scale, far more important, you know, and I'm not preaching it. We're going to get these calls, see what you guys have to say. It's coming up in a sec, I promise. 877-337-6666. If what you've heard so far from me and Teague, you don't fully agree with, we'll certainly give you the forum to be heard. But I would throw this at you preemptively. What's more important? What somebody wrote to try to look cool when they were 15 or 16, or what they do when they're old enough to actually have a positive influence on society?
Yeah.
What is more important? I mean, come on.
I mean, clearly the latter is. In some ways, you know.
But a lot of people don't even care about
that.
I agree,
but I'll push back in some ways on a little bit of what you said about the guy who was searching for this.
Okay.
Because sometimes, not the case with Nestor, because I don't think Nestor has a malicious bone in his body. It just doesn't feel it. I may be completely wrong. I don't know him at all. But I think sometimes these guys who are searching for this negative content and putting out there is to expose who someone actually is, right? They're trying to, you guys are holding this guy on a putting him on a pedestal, but this is who he actually is.
The impetus to go on that search? Where was the evidence from Cortez?
I don't know.
That gave us the slightest indication that he was a bad person.
That's my point. I don't know.
If there was intimations, if you're like, man, I've heard this about this guy, or he kind of said this and it didn't sound right, and then you start digging, that's different from seeing a guy who's projected all positivity and then go on the search.
That's a good point.
Despite everything being good about this
guy. Disagree.
It's totally different.
I don't disagree with you on this particular case, but I understand why people do it. Who was the pitcher for the Red Sox? He was gross. Like what he was.
I think he was an outfielder.
Yeah, or outfielder. Yeah.
Oh, that, I mean that was vile. That was reprehensible.
Exactly.
And that was wow.
And that's dangerous.
That is dangerous.
Like that rhetoric is dangerous for someone who's important and he's saying things.
But he exposed it himself.
I agree. But with someone who has some notoriety is espousing that.
Yes.
That's dangerous.
That's
a
given.
And that needs to be exposed.
100%.
So I get it. So I'm not defending this guy because it seems like there was no purpose to expose Nestor Cortez's, you know, 10-year-old tweets when he was a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old. But I understand why some people do that, because you need to know who you're cheering for, who you're buying jerseys of, enriching, whatever you want to put it. You need to know that.
Yep.
I think in this case it's a skew of who Nestor actually is. But Nestor addressed it the right way, and it actually makes me feel good about him, even better about him.
Yeah, you know.
We talked about him yesterday just because he's pitching phenomenally. But now to dig into the evolved person that he's become, it makes you even happier to be a fan and root for him.
Well, listen, here's what this also is. Now, the moral compass should always come from the home.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, it doesn't always.
You're right.
Most of the time it does, but it's not a perfect world. We know that. So, now, kids are in school right now, but, you know, if you're a parent and you have a rough time, you don't know how to broach these subjects, you don't know really, you're not a great communicator, whatever. And I'm not judging, I'm just saying that these are the facts of life. You know, use Nestor Cortez as an example how damaging, even though he's going to weather the storm for sure, but, you know, how one misstep, either, you know, visual or digitally or verbally, can really alter somebody's life negatively. Use it as a teachable moment. All right, let's hear from you guys. 877-337-6666. Let's start Kyle's in Bridgewater on the Fan. What up, Kyle? How you doing today?
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
How Morning, Kyle.
Hey.
So just two things on Nestor. First of all, the man was born in Cuba. He grew up in Florida. The Spanish.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like we say the. There was and his tweets. It blows my mind that this is even an issue with him. There was nothing racist, mean. There was no hate behind it. That's just how people in his that's how they talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go to any of the streets in New York and hear guys on the corner. That's how they talk. That's like the white guys calling each other bro or dude or whatever.
Yeah,
it's just how they speak.
The problem is the historical connotation of the word. It just makes it uncomfortable.
I get it.
Even so, if he's trying to say it in a non-malicious way, right? It makes people uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But on a positive note, BT, this is more towards you.
Okay.
What more does this man have to do to be looked at as a real and genuine pitcher? I always hear guys say, it's still a great story. You know, he's got to do this, he's got to do that. I mean, he's been good for a long time now.
Yeah,
I think he deserves a little more credit, and I think he's generally a good pitcher.
Well, he's getting credit on this station. You know what I mean, Kyle? I can't talk to the other conversations. I can't speak to that, I should say. But listen, I do, and I know that this is going to sound weird, but I think that you guys know where I'm coming from. Optically, he really doesn't look as if he should be as good as he's been.
Yeah,
he's small. You know, he's got this funky little mustache that probably. Yeah, it was probably more prevalent in the 80s and the 70s. I mean, the turtle, the nickname, like it's just, it doesn't match up with the physical characteristics of some of the other modern stars who are bigger, stronger, et cetera. But he has been phenomenal. John's in Queens. What's happening, Johnny? You're on the Fan. How
morning,
you doing?
John.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you doing today?
We are good. What you got for us?
So growing up in Queens, I'm going to defend Nestor Cortez, right? So I'm African American. I have white friends, I have black friends, I have Spanish friends, I have a diverse group of friends, right?
Yep.
And growing up in South Jamaica, Queens, it's a known thing that amongst friends you can definitely use that word with the A at the end. There's no issues, right?
Yeah.
So a 17-year-old Nestor Cortez shouldn't be shamed now for a term that he used 10 years ago, and it's probably a term that he probably still uses to this day with friends of that same ethnicity. So for someone to go and look at old tweets and try to bash this man because he's having an amazing, start to his season, is that's ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
It's something that, and again, it's rap lyrics too. He wasn't doing it in a negative way. He was quoting lyrics from, I don't know what song was exactly, but that's how you talk in places that we grow up.
John, right? I have a question for you. That's a very common sense approach. But I want to kind of get away from Cortez for a moment. I want to throw this at you because it has happened with some other athletes, Josh Hader, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
If an old tweet's uncovered, right? And it's not necessarily a rap lyric, but it's more a way of thinking, but that person is 16 or 17. I know you're going to receive that differently, but would you still give them would you still be open-minded enough to say, all right, that was a young mind that wrote that, that was a young mindset, and you can't evolve and get better as a person? Would you still feel similarly or no?
I still feel the same way. It doesn't matter what age. I'm in banking, right? I head recruiting for a big bank, right?
Yep.
And to this day, I don't talk like that at work, but amongst friends, I talk like that.
Yeah.
And it's not an issue. I have Indian friends, I have Spanish friends, I have white friends. When you set a tone and you know that person, it's not an issue. So Nestor Cortez, I understand in America now, there's a lot of stuff that's going on.
Yep.
And, some people that are not growing up in the neighborhoods that we grow up in, New York City, Chicago, and these type of places, parts of California, they don't understand how we talk to each other. It's not a negative thing. So I just want to say he shouldn't feel bad. I understand he's with the Yankees, and they're a polished organization, and they got to do what they got to do. But, it's just crazy to me that this is even a topic. I was listening to, I was on Twitter yesterday, and I see him trending. And I'm like, what is he trending for? And I'm looking at the tweets. If he said the ER, that's different.
But yeah.
The word that he used, we use that every single day.
I mean, thank you for the call, John. It's really it's a really interesting debate on this word because we know how it was originally used. It was to keep
blacks and other minorities, brown people, in their place, right? It's just, you are subhuman. I'm not calling you a man. I'm calling you this. But over time, it's almost like black culture appropriated it and turned it to something positive, right? And made it...
Tried to get the power back, you mean?
Exactly.
Almost.
Exactly. Yeah, Took the power back for the word.
Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's why you hear it in rap lyrics. That's why you hear it, you know, in colloquial conversation around friends that are black and brown and other ethnicities, you know, obviously non-white. And it's I don't want to say it's confusing, because it's actually not. It's very clear. But I can see why it can get convoluted in people's minds.
Okay, 877-337-6666, 1022 on the Fan inside the Town Fair Tire Studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you, always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We'll get more calls on this. Obviously, get into the Yankees, who stay hot last night. And listen, if Severino's about to join the party, oh boy, look out. Big day for the Mets. Puffy, Stubby, Tubby, Rubby, whatever his name is, as they get a doubleheader. So that's a big one as well. So Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. We got you till 2. That is Carter Roberts coming up after us.
The Fan is your station. We want to hear from you. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
All righty, 1029 here on The Fan. It's the Tiki and Tierney Show. I feel like Dolph has found a way to get rid of some of those songs that I couldn't stand. Not that I love this, but it's okay. I'm not complaining about it. It's okay. This is a song, depending upon the mood, open road. Maybe I keep it on for a few seconds. I don't know. I wouldn't definitely change it like some of the other ones that Spike has just forced down our throat here at The Fan. His weird, some of his weird musical fetishes, which nobody likes.
He's playing the numbers.
Don't tell him.
He's playing the numbers.
877-337-6666 is our number. Listen, Yankees look good. And if Severino, you know, the thing about Severino is he's got to get back in the flow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a feel thing. It's a build-up thing. It's a trust thing. It's a repetition thing. But, you know, we talk about this Yankee team, this Yankee staff, and this rotation specifically, with Cole with four straight, you know, dazzling starts.
Yep.
Obviously, Cortez. We'll get back to the other story with Cortez in a moment. Right now, he's on the short list for Cy Young, all-star starter. You know, Montgomery's been solid, although no run support. Tyone's been good. And if you get Severino, like, in a perfect world for me, in a perfect world, if the Yankees are going to really have a chance to win a World Series, to me, it's Cole number one, dominant Sevy number two, and then Cortez three.
Yeah, no, if Luis Severino pitches like he did yesterday, six innings, he seven strikeouts, he only gave up one earned run, a couple walks here or there, and Nestor stays Nestor, and Gerrit Cole does what Gerrit Cole does, and the rest of the starters evolve into, you know, quality starters as the season goes on, then you have that serious conversation that we kind of had yesterday, but not really, about the best staff in baseball. I know the Diamondbacks are in this conversation, but it really puts you at in the short list of being not the favorite, but maybe the favorite if your bats keep hitting the way that they are, the favorite to win the World Series, because the Dodgers are there, obviously. The Angels, it's more, can you sustain it?
Yep.
Angels have no history of extended success, especially as it comes to their pitching staff. So it's the Dodgers, the D-backs, the Yanks, the Angels. D-backs are not a World Series favorite. But if the Yankees pitch like this, and Severino pitches like this, and they keep smashing away, how are the Yankees, come All-Star break, not the favorite to win the World Series?
It would be tough to say that they're not. I totally agree. The other situation with Nestor Cortes, the roughly decade-old tweets that were uncovered, and this is a part of society. Teague and I did this a lot on the national side. We're very comfortable talking about this. We're not going to shove it down your throat. We're not arsonists. We're not, you know, opportunists. We don't just take race and, you know, manipulate it to have a fiery talk show. We think that's irresponsible. What we do believe in is when something pops up, you know, have a nice, measured, intellectual, fair, open-minded conversation, and that obviously includes you, and that's what we keep doing.
That's right, because BT grew up around more black people than I did, and that's not even a joke.
No, you know, I mean, and that, by the way, that was more like on the trains.
I know, that's
you
what
know
I
some
mean.
Baseball teams, a lot of Spanish kids.
I know.
But that was
other than my family, there weren't a lot of black people around in the Roanoke County that I grew up
well,
in.
Well, this is the joke that so Tiki got cut from his basketball team, which is imagine what grade was this? Sixth grade?
Seventh grade.
Seventh grade. Just imagine this for a second. I'm sure he was a good guy. Some coach in the seventh grade, all white team, I think, except you and Rondé.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Imagine cutting Rondé and Tiki from the seventh. I don't care how bad you were. You'd be pressing and trapping the whole
exactly.
game.
Exactly.
What was that? Hopefully that guy didn't stick around very long.
He was there for a long time.
I don't think you won much, did you?
Coach Anderson.
If you were gone?
I don't know. We wouldn't wrestle and I stopped caring about
basketball. I hear you. Let's get Rich in stat line. Rich is on the Fan Tiki and Tierney Show. What's up, Rich?
How's it going, boys?
Richie it's boy.
Truck in traffic on GWB right now.
Oh, that's miserable.
Traffic was rough today.
Let me tell you something. So I love stand-up comedy. I follow it. So I'm always reading about the whole cancel culture mob and all that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Where were the cancel culture mob? Where were they when this guy was in the minors with an ADRA and nobody knew his name?
Yep.
Where were they?
They didn't care.
They didn't care.
They didn't care. And let me tell you another thing. Why they always go for the person's living? They try to take food off their table. Someone could murder somebody, do their time in jail. Oh, he's a changed man now. Look, they give him a second chance. But you send out a tweet, an edgy tweet, and they want to ruin your life.
Yeah. I mean, we agree, because Nestor's not that guy. And you can kind of tell. Appreciate your call, Rich.
Thanks,
good luck
Richie.
With that traffic. It sucked today.
It
really did.
It was rough all over. 280 was jammed. Yep. Holland sucked.
Yep.
Bridge was awful.
Hoff had an accident he had to deal with.
Yeah, Hoff, you okay? You recovered from that, buddy?
Oh, it wasn't me. It was somebody else.
You were a little ornery when you came in, though. I could tell you were impacted by the traffic.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah,
yeah,
I got you.
Yeah, he's right. And BT hit this in the first segment. You just when you know a guy, or at least you feel like a guy is a good guy, the last thing you want is to be taken down by something that's not contextually significant, right? And it's significant. I'm not saying it's insignificant, the things that Nestor Cortes tweeted when he was 17 years old, but contextually it's not. And that's what bothers you. But again, I love how Nestor Cortes handled this.
Yes.
He didn't run away from it. He easily could have just hidden the showers or hidden in the training room, whatever it is. He came out and he addressed it knowing that it was going to come and hit him square in the face. And you got to commend him for that.
Listen, I don't have many rules in life that I try to live by. And no one's perfect, obviously, and I'm certainly not. But try to treat people the right way, work hard, instill that work ethic in my kids. Just generally try to do the right thing. I mean, that's most people subscribe to that stuff, right? Most good people do. The one thing that really, and you get this in some towns and you start to get into the politics. Now, I haven't really dealt with this yet, thank God, but I'm sure at some point you will. You hear like, oh, so-and-so is, no, I'm not talking about racist now.
Yeah.
Just so-and-so
is
a jerk or so-and-so is whatever. You know what? I don't know how you really judge somebody with true venom without ever meeting them.
That's right.
I don't know how anybody could do that.
It's impossible.
Who the hell do you think you are?
It's impossible to do that. It just doesn't make any sense to pass judgment without knowing.
It's reckless and it's unfair.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of the fan, Tiki and Tierney Show 1044, we're going to have a lot of fun next Friday, the official kickoff to summer at DJ's in Belmar. We're going to be out there. Carter Roberts, obviously the guys in the morning. I have a question, and it's just merely a question, but I don't think that I'm alone in wondering what this means. So, Boomer, who I view as the captain of the FAN team.
Indeed.
Oh, we have it. Okay, so, Dove, when I tell you to stop it, or Hoff, just stop it when I... Go ahead. Here's the promo. Go ahead, guys.
The official kickoff to summer with WFN and 94.7 The Block is on Friday, May 27th.
Starting at 5 a.m. and goes on all day long until 6 p.m.
Come on, Bikini Inspector.
Go to the Jersey Shore to see us, Boomer and Geo, and of course the Coattail Guys.
Stop. The Coattail Guys. Now, I heard that the first time, and it didn't really register. Now, you know, we're hearing it a lot because the event's rapidly approaching. And I'm trying to determine if that is simply Boomer talking about the order of the shows, like the coattails kind of accentuate the jacket,
are you feeling insulted?
And without the almighty Boomer, we'd be dead.
I can hear Boomer smiling, chuckling to himself.
I think it's enough.
Without actually laughing. Throwing a little dig at us.
Well, that's what I mean. I think it's a knock.
But he's doing it jovially.
Oh, I don't think it's incredibly... I don't think he hates us.
No, of course not.
I know he likes us, but he's got a little shot in there.
He probably had his writer write that anyway.
Oh, that's right. He does have a writer. They write his sports minutes. I guarantee... I got to ask Carton about this, because Carton's sensitive like me. I would guarantee that Carton heard that. He's like, coattail, guys. I don't know. Just something that I was pondering the last week or so. Maybe I'll have to text Boomer and ask him what he meant by that. 877-337-6666. So the Cortez tweets, the Yankees red hot, the Mets with a doubleheader today. We got a lot of stuff going on. Jay's in New Haven, Connecticut on the fan. What up, Jay?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
So I just wanted to say something about the Nestor Cortez tweet.
Go ahead.
And, you know, as an African-American man myself, one of your callers earlier said something about it being from a certain neighborhood in Queens and stuff like that, which is fine. You know, I understand, you know, the cultures may be different everywhere else.
Yep.
I just feel like that's a little ignorant to kind of say it like that. Just because you're from a certain neighborhood, you're allowed to say a certain thing.
No, I don't think he was saying that. I was just saying, I think he was just saying in his neighborhood.
No, I get you. No, I understand that. I understand that. But
yeah.
I still feel like, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like that word should be abolished anyway, you know, regardless of who's saying it.
But, Jay, let me ask you something.
Expunged.
Do you think that it will?
I would hope so, but no, because the way the world works, you know, how people think, you know, people think they can kind of say whatever they want, mm-hmm. whenever they want. I would hope it would be abolished, only because there's so much negative, you know, negativity towards that word in the first place. You know, there's nothing positive about it, regardless if it's not said in derogatory way or said in, you know, just among friends. I just feel like, you know, there's so much negativity to it, regardless, you know, of how you use it.
Yeah. No, I listen, that's a very fair take there, Jay. I think it's very sensible, too. I think not that we need to defend the caller that you followed up on, because I think his heart's coming from a great place, and I think his explanation was on point. But I got you. I certainly respect it. You know, again, you can't equivocate anything in terms of the usage of that word,
yeah.
right? Or those words, that kind of pain.
I would just quickly yeah. argue that not everybody sees it as negative.
Yeah, okay. I got you. I'm gonna take your word for that. I think that a lot of people would agree with you on that.
I just know for a fact it's not always seen as negative.
Yeah, we talk about like the mainstream usage, like songs and endearment. Yeah,
exactly.
I agree with that. I would say, now, again, not the perfect comparison, but I think you'll see where I'm going. If you listened to sports radio 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
how many times, raise your hand if you ever heard Francesa use the word balls. Like, this quarterback's got big balls. The
yeah.
answer's never.
Never.
Okay? I don't think Mad Dog ever said it. I don't think anybody ever said it. Quite frankly, I didn't even, when I was with ESPN, I didn't say it because it's a very core, it's just a totally different dynamic.
You have to say it again because Dove dumped you.
And Paul, no, he didn't.
I'm just joking.
But Dove doesn't know what it means?
I'm joking.
Come on, dude, find him. Nah, just kidding.
He's stuck in the old ways.
Yeah, whatever. But the point being, my former company, it was frowned upon, but that I speak like that with my buddies.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Put it this way. I don't know. If we're playing golf, should I lay up? No, dude, show some balls, man. Go for it, dude. Yeah. You're shooting a 96. You go for it.
Yeah.
Point being, when you hear something over and over and over, you are desensitized to it. Again, that's not a bad, bad word, but some people don't like it. I get that, right? If the word was expunged, really, from mainstream society, that includes rap songs, but it's not the role of the white guy to say, I'm just pointing it out.
And the context that we're talking about.
No doubt about it. But yes and no, because context matters 100%, but I think that context is lost when you hear it all the time. And think about this. If there was a 10-year period where you didn't hear the N-word once in a rap song, do you think the new generation would throw it around so freely?
No, not
the answer is unequivocally no.
No, you're right. But think about what that would take to change.
That's not up to me to change. I'm white. That's not up to me to change that.
No. I wouldn't even try. It's not. No, actually, I think it's probably on white executives at music companies, at record companies. I honestly believe that. Right. So what you're saying is that if it was pushed out completely from any rap or any hip hop or whatever music.
Mm-hmm.
Then for a decade, we don't hear it other than when somebody is saying it, and those people didn't stop saying it, and we don't hear it in music as well, that it will disappear.
Uh-huh.
You're probably right.
Yep.
But think about what it would take to make that happen.
Yeah. It would take a real concerted effort from all parties, and you'd have to really stick to it.
They tried this. They tried it.
You talk about the parental lyrics on the albums?
That was 30 years ago. That was just an awareness. Just be aware that you might hear something untoward on this album.
Uh-huh.
But about a decade ago, they tried to get rid of that word, the N-word, in our society. It just didn't work. It didn't work because while there is a negative connotation to it, there is, and I've said this before, BT, there's an appropriation of that word where it's become a term of endearment in some context.
Yep.
And so that context matters, right? It's almost an empowerment thing. It's a, you know, we're tight, and I feel comfortable with you. You feel comfortable with me. I'm going to call you that. So, they've tried. They really have tried, and
did they try enough? It's one thing to try.
I don't know.
A little bit.
I'm not an executive.
Really
I'm not an executive at a record company.
Probably could be though.
Yeah, maybe.
It probably could be.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. Identifying talent.
It's a lot of money too, though, man.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of fun.
You get one hit song. Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm gonna retire. I get a plane.
I go to my mansion. I'm not even gonna try to crank out a second hit. I'm good.
Right.
I'm playing golf today, man.
Yeah.
I mean, but listen. Here's the thing. I get it. But, like, if we ever had a 5 or 7 or 10-year window where it really was expunged.
I don't disagree with you.
Okay? Guys like Josh Hader a couple of years ago, Josh Allen when he was 15 or 16, Cortez, Dante DiVincenzo from Villanova. When you don't hear it, you don't feel as if you have the internal freedom, rightly or more specifically wrongly, especially if you're white, to use it. Now, all right, you got to remember. So my dad's born in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
His parents and my maternal and paternal grandpa, you know, born in World War One, right? So there were a lot of terms that were used, you know, anti-Irish, anti-Italian. I'm not saying it's the same as the N-word. I'm not saying that at all. But to the Italians or the Irish, it hurts as much back then. The Polish.
Yep.
But those words have gone away.
Good
point. Because they're not thrown out there societally.
Yes.
And now my son and my daughter, we don't, and I'm not just trying to sound like, he runs a good household. I'm far from perfect. I don't use those words.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not even talking about the N word. I'm talking about the other words.
Yes.
I don't use them. So they won't even know what they are.
That's right.
And you look up in 20, 30 years, they're all gone from the lexicon.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. You don't hear them. I know exactly what you're talking about. You don't hear them anymore. And it's because it's not mainstream.
Same with Jewish. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. It's not mainstream by the parts of society that everybody looks at and everybody makes viral and everybody thinks is cool.
It's certainly not glorified, that's for sure.
That's right. So,
and I'm not saying the use of the N-word is always glorified.
Your instinct on that is dead, 100% dead right. The question is, how does it actually happen with those that can influence
it. I don't have
it.
The answer to that. I don't even pretend
the artists
no idea.
Themselves are not going to, they're not going to self-police.
Nope.
You know, 25-year-old rapper who's, you know, been using this word his whole life. His yeah. parents probably used it. He still uses it.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever, you know, context he's talking about, and he gets a record deal, he's not going to stop using it.
And you know what? If I was him, I probably wouldn't either.
You're right.
To be honest. I mean, money's coming in. Things I get it. But that's the answer.
I know.
I mean, we can go in circles all day. The way it fades away.
But it's almost generational. It's a generational effort.
But the problem, yes, it is. But the problem is it's generationally being handed down.
Mm-hmm. Now.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. 877-337-6666. All right. The Cortez conversation's there for the whole day. You know, we're not going to beat you over the head with it. But we also want to get into this coming up next. Met fans, you wake up today. How'd you feel when you woke up? You feel loose? You feel limber? You feel ready to throw Tubby around or Slubby, whatever his name is, the first base coach who attacked Alonso? I didn't really attack him, but you know what I mean. This is a big day for the Mets. Two games coming off your first series loss. Big day. We'll get into the Mets as well right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.